Are you a mid-career manager wondering how you can move into a general management role? Do you have an eye on the C-suite or perhaps starting your own company? Are you considering an executive MBA to facilitate any one of those changes? Listen into this interview with a Columbia Business School EMBA student who is doing it now. Find out how she got in. Welcome to the 326th episode of Admissions Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both belong at your target schools and stand out in the applicant pool. The result, you get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in." Not only in, but in at the best program for you. The featured resource for today's podcast is the upcoming Ask Me Anything with Columbia Business School's Assistant Dean of Admissions, Amanda Carlson, and you are invited. Bring all your CBS admissions questions to the AMA on September 5th at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. The Ask Me Anything is free, but you do need to register to reserve your spot. You can do so today at accepted.com/326AMA. Again, that URL is accepted.com/326AMA. To get today's guest is Betta Ely. Betta earned her bachelor's in fine arts from Cal State Long Beach in 2004 and worked as an art director prior to becoming manager of creative and product development at Disney, where she worked from 2004 to 2011. She then worked in similar areas for Mattel and Discovery Communications, where she was a senior manager and director, respectively. Since April 2018, she has served as the brand creative director for the city of Manhattan Beach, just a little bit away from me, and in January became a Columbia Executive MBA student. Betta, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, what you like to do for fun, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, sure. I grew up near Moscow in Russia. My parents and pretty much everyone in my family are scientists. In the 90s, my dad got a job at UCLA, and so we moved here and lived in Santa Monica. And so that was actually kind of how I became a designer rather than probably I would have continued the family tradition of becoming a scientist had we stayed in Russia. But here I saw an opportunity to just do something a little different. I went to Santa Monica High School, where we had a really great design program. And they set me up with real companies like Levi's, and I worked on real projects. And that was kind of the beginning of where I am today in terms of career stuff.
Okay, wow. And what do you like to do for fun?
Oh, so many things. I really love to travel, near, far. Sometimes my husband and I just kind of spontaneously grab the dogs and we go on a road trip.
Okay.
But I also love to go traveling internationally. So this program that I'm now in is very much an international program, and that was part of the appeal as well.
Okay, great. Now, you started out in college studying art and design. When and how did you get bitten by the business bug?
The business bug. Yeah. I think the business bug bit me when I started to, after a while of working as a creative, I started to realize that the industry is shifting, and the way that design and creative is being utilized at companies is becoming a little bit different. Maybe it was because of tech and innovation, but I really felt this kind of a tectonic shift, which was very exciting because, for example, product differentiation, product design started to become very important, and creative leaders almost had this, you know, we had a seat at the table all of a sudden. We were invited to participate. But I realized as I was, you know, being invited to board meetings and such, that I didn't even have the vocabulary to speak to some of these people. And so oftentimes I realized that I couldn't actually deliver this, you know, very strategic function that was now expected of me. And that's when I started to really think about business school.
Okay. And so, all right. When you were researching programs and applying to different programs, what appealed to you about the Columbia Business School Executive MBA?
Yeah, really a fantastic program. I was so excited to find it because of what I was saying a little bit earlier, how I'm coming from a unique background. And my real idea was to create this shift, almost a bridge between being a creative person and being a business leader. And so for teaching what they call an entrepreneurial mindset. And what they mean by that is not that you have to, have your own business, but really that the idea is that a leader should be focused on identifying opportunities, whether it's in the company or growing the industry. And because I was trying to do something unique and unorthodox, this motto very much appealed to me. So that's how I picked Columbia. And then not only was the curriculum and the culture a really good fit, it's also located in New York City. And because I'm interested in media and entertainment, a little bit of retail, that New York network, and adding that to my LA network was just an added bonus.
Okay. All right. Now you mentioned the culture. How did you research the culture? I mean, you're in LA, or basically LA. I know it's Long Beach, but you're pretty close. And the program's in New York. How did you research it?
It's a well-known program, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so that part was actually a little bit easier than I realized. Because I've worked for such big companies, we've always had a bi-coastal relationship with New York City. So I already knew a bit about just New York in general. And then Columbia is such a huge player in that world that it was pretty easy to, just even get word of mouth or know what websites to look at, such as Accepted. and so to get an understanding of whether or not it was a good cultural fit.
Okay, great. Did you actually visit Columbia or not before you were actually accepted or invited to interview?
Not until I was invited to interview. But I did see their representatives here in LA because they did some West Coast outreach. So I had a chance to connect and really make sure that it was the right decision to, spend the time on the application.
Sure. Now, what challenges did you face in the application process? Was there anything that was particularly difficult?
Yes, a little bit. Let's see. I think if I had to give somebody advice for applying, it's to really start figuring out who your recommenders are going to be early on, because those recommendations are very, very important, not only I think for the admissions committee, but even for yourself. It's kind of interesting to see who you are through the eyes of maybe your mentors or peers or whatnot, but they're very involved, those recommendation letters. So making sure that you have somebody who really knows you very well and can speak about you, that's a big part of it. That was an unexpected challenge.
What was the expected challenge?
The GMAT, the essays.
Okay. So let's unwrap that a little bit. In terms of the recommenders, I mean, I assume you asked them. Was there anything particularly difficult about asking them? How did you handle that particular challenge?
I asked them, but because I think this is a unique maybe situation for those applicants considering EMBAs. Those of us that are doing the executive programs are typically a little bit older and maybe further along in our careers. Sure. So the people that could really speak to my career path and who I really thought of as mentors or somebody who could really speak to my skill level, were typically very busy executives. And then I switched from the private sector to the public sector. So my boss became the city manager and the mayor of the city of Manhattan Beach. And I really wanted to have that combination of somebody who had known me for a very, very long time, and then maybe a current boss or a current executive that was a higher level than me. So making sure that those people have the time and the energy to do this very involved letter for you, that's what's kind of, you have to manage that.
Right. No, it's not easy. And I think you were smart to insist on it being somebody who knows you well. I always say there's two recommendations I have for letters of recommenders, for recommenders rather. One, they have to know you well and usually have to be in a supervisory role. And two, they have to be willing and able to write the letter.
Yes. Okay. Which sometimes those two don't actually match up.
Come together. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
sometimes right. They're very much willing to, but they don't have the time. And right. Sometimes they are traveling overseas. You know, you just never know.
Yeah. Right. Right. So, okay. So that was challenge number one. Challenge number two is the GMAT. Oh. How do you handle that one? Grit your teeth.
Well, your you teeth. Know what? As I was prepping for it, I of course was griping a whole lot about it. But I, as much as I didn't love the test, and you've mentioned to your listeners that my background is fine art, you know, so I was not experienced in a lot of analytical, quantitative kind of thinking. But I am really, really glad that I took the time to prep for it and that I actually did it, because it really did prep me for the quantitative courses. And now the quantitative courses are much easier than they would have been had I not done that initial prep.
Absolutely. And you know, you're working and doing the EMBA. I'm sure you don't want to really be working, you're struggling with basic math at this point.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You don't want to be trying to remember how to, you know, punch in numbers into a calculator.
Right. And did you do self-study? Did you work with a tutor? Did you take a class online, offline? How did you prep for the GMAT? What was effective for you?
I did a little bit of everything. For me, the biggest challenge was actually a bit of a test anxiety. It wasn't the material. Well, it was reviewing the material itself, which is easy enough to do on your own. But mm-hmm. where I really used the help was just talking through how to take a big test like that and having the stamina for it and the, you know, not letting the nerves get to you. And I used several different people for it. But actually the person that I had through accepted, Jen Well, really helped uh-huh. me through some of that as well. That was
really
great.
With mm-hmm. the nerves also?
Mm-hmm. But specifically with the nerves. I mean, she gave me a few little pointers for example, what score to shoot for, things like that. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I was least prepared for was the test anxiety. And we had developed a really great relationship. And mm-hmm. because she got to know me, she was able to address some of the things that were tripping me up.
Okay. Oh, she's great. No question. And then you mentioned the essays. So what was hard about the essays and how did you deal with that?
They know what they're doing, right? They're asking you the kind of questions that are not easy to answer, or more like you can answer them and kind of maybe do a bit of a cop out, which then becomes extremely obvious to them. That's so ridiculous. You know that that's what they're paying attention to. So you yeah. really have to, you have to spend the time on those and you have to be very, very thoughtful about it. And again, this is actually where Jen was absolutely instrumental. There's no way I could have even finished those essays without her guidance. Because they're supposed to be very short, and yet they ask very loaded questions. So you really have to figure out how to say something impactful succinctly.
Yeah, for sure. And no, Jen is great. I know. You know, as you're talking, I mean, you're an artist. I'm assuming that, you know, visually you see things, you know, that I would never see. I don't have a great eye. That's your dogs, huh?
Yes. Sorry about that.
Well, that's all right. That's all right. No problem. So what I was about to say was my husband and I were redecorating our house, and I have a friend who's very artistic and very design oriented. I am not. And I called her over one day and she was very gracious and she agreed to help me with like choosing colors and stuff like that. And she's known me for a very long time. And she's looking around the house and she says, Linda, what kind of story do you want to tell with your colors? And I just looked at her and I said, Debbie, I tell stories with words, not with colors. And I'm going to guess that you were probably the exact opposite.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. This is actually perfect. That's exactly what it is. And you know what? I even asked Jen if for my optional essay, I could do an illustration or even maybe a comic book style story. And she actually thought that that was a fun idea and I could do that for the optional essay. But yes, it is much easier for me to tell a story with pictures than it is.
Images. Yeah. Yeah. It's a different skill set.
But, mindset. Yeah. I think the way you think becomes just, I mean, you learn to express yourself in certain ways and it's hard to get away from it.
Right. And now that you're in the Columbia Business School program, so you started in January, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's about 6 months in. What are you enjoying most about it?
Well, I suppose the pretty typical things. I love our cohort. Everyone I spoke with from Columbia said from the very beginning that they definitely spent a lot of time and energy putting together the cohort and finding the right group of people. And every single one of us in our class has been saying that they really did do a tremendous job. It's diverse. It's well matched in terms of level of experience and skill set. So we have a big range of people, but they're all kind of coordinated to work together and learn together and travel together. So that's been amazing. And then I really do like the curriculum. We have incredible instructors. We're learning a ton. There are subjects that I really didn't expect to enjoy, like corporate finance. But I'm actually enjoying it. I think because it's an MBA program, the instructors know what we're trying, for the most part, what we're trying to get out of it. Like for me, like I was mentioning, that I really want to be able to still be a creative person, but maybe able to explain how a great design could lead to higher revenues. And so even though we really do have to learn the same exact material as the regular MBA program, the way that instructors teach it, for example, the way they use cases or the, you know, maybe anecdotes that they use in class are very much relatable, and it makes you really excited to learn this relatively dry material.
Right, and also relatively dry on top of a full day at work. I mean,
yeah,
a full work schedule. So how before I ask you, how are you handling both, what could be improved at Columbia's MBA program, do you think?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I think Columbia, from what I remember, has maybe the largest MBA program, which I think is already really, really great because we have some events that bring everyone together, and it's great to meet people from different MBA programs. What possibly could be improved is, as they grow the program, it would be wonderful to see even more classes or events that were specifically targeting the MBA portion of it, because we still every once in a while feel like regular MBAs maybe, you know, sometimes maybe take a little bit more priority, which is understandable because that's the much bigger program.
I see what you're saying. Okay. Now it's 15 years since you graduated from college. Has it been hard to go back to studying and taking tests and having papers and all that? How are you handling the transition?
It's hard. I can't even sugarcoat it. It's not easy. But it's really fun. It's that kind of challenge that you just, you know, you take a test and the next morning you wake up and you're like, I just took a test. I mean, I just sat there with a piece of paper and a pen and wrote numbers down. And it's an incredible feeling. It feels like you were a kid back in school. And we have people who are in their 50s. I think we have a person who is in her 60s. Uh-huh. And then, you know, of course, people who are in their 20s. And we are all going through it together. And it's the most fantastic kind of life-changing experience. But it is challenging. It's hard.
And how about the demands in terms of, well, there's a demand of just studying again. Okay. That's one thing. But what about, you know, I mentioned a minute ago, you're working full time. You're a city manager in the city of Manhattan Beach, and you're also going to school on the other side of the continent. How are you handling just the time demands, you know, work, part-time school, et cetera?
I'm a creative director. I'm not a city manager. Just want to
Okay.
make sure.
Creative manager. Right. Sorry.
Because that's a really big job that I don't think I could do and go to school simultaneously.
Okay.
I think what's important is to start thinking about that combination very early on in the application process. I think that's something that people interested in getting an MBA, an executive MBA, have to really, really think through, because it does require a big level of, well, prioritization. You just really have to know what to prioritize when, and you have to ask for help and know when to ask for help. And actually, one of the essays is specifically dedicated to you putting together a plan for exactly how you're going to execute this particular part of it. So you do end up having an idea of how you're going to handle it going into it. But then of course, once you start, I think the first week of school, when we all started, I remember we were all sitting there at lunch and we were like, whoa, this is going to be a huge challenge. So then you go back home and you reprioritize again, and it's a shifting set of kind of deadlines that you have to keep managing. It's like as if you got a promotion at your job and now you're in a much, much, much bigger role and you're still trying to do your other role. Mm-hmm. And now you have this whole other set of things that you have to do. We've all done that to a degree, right? Most of us that are a little bit more advanced in their career. So you kind of know what it feels like, but it's still a challenge.
It's hard. Yeah.
Now, I think what helps is that you're in it with other people that are doing it. And right. And like I said, Columbia does an amazing job putting together these cohorts, and then they separate us even further into clusters and learning teams. And so you have an amazing amount of support from your peers, from the administration, and, you know, then of course from your family and work. But at school specifically, you have other people that are going through the exact same thing with you. So and you build very strong connections with them. So that really helps to figure out how to deal with the challenges, is that you have a nice group of people that's also brainstorming with you on how to go about it.
Right. And I mean, I assume at some point you talk to your boss, you talk to your husband, about, you know, the demands that are going to be upon you and got their cooperation. Do you have to fly out periodically on Thursday night so that you miss Friday? You know, that kind of thing?
Yes. For me, I'm very lucky in terms of my job. My job is pretty flexible, and everyone at my work is very, very supportive. I think for those people that have a family, it becomes a little bit more challenging because there's the emotional component. You also don't want to leave your partner with the sole responsibility for the entire household. So I was actually a little bit more worried about that part. But what my husband and I figured out is that we decided that we're doing this together. We decided that it's our kind of a project that we're doing together as a family. And so he's actually come out many, many times with me to New York. He became friends with pretty much everyone in my cohort. We're going to be traveling together during some of our international seminars. He really became a part of it, and lots of spouses end up doing that because it's a great experience for them too.
Right. Sounds much better than leaving him home the whole time. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Because I would feel so guilty, and he would feel, you know, sad missing me. So if a person has the flexibility or the ability to get their family somehow involved, I think that's the best case scenario. We've had people bring their kids to class.
Really?
Their parents. We've had people bring their parents to class. We all go out to dinner together. It's really wonderful if you can try to incorporate the school process into kind of your normal life as much as possible.
That's great. That's a great suggestion. What are your plans for the future? How do you intend to use your MBA once you earn it?
I had an answer to this when I was applying it because I had a few very specific goals in mind, like what I alluded to a little bit earlier, right, where I really wanted to change the way that design leaders and creative leaders are viewed and used in an organization. My ultimate goal has been to really make sure that with this business know-how, I'm able to actually use my team's creative potential to, you know, drive revenue, to really, right, rather than being a service function of a company, to become an active strategic participant in the company. As you go through the program, your goals change all the time because you get so excited and so inspired by your cohort, by the things that you're learning, by being in New York City, all of it. So I have no idea if in the end, this is what I just said is actually what I'm going to do. But for now, that's kind of the plan.
Okay. Still the plan. Good. And do you have any tips that you'd like to share with Columbia Executive MBA applicants based on your experience?
Okay. So I already gave the suggestion about looking for recommenders early on.
Right.
I really think that coming up with a plan for your personal life and your work life as you're applying is an important part because that becomes very, very stressful. I've met people whose boss, for example, wouldn't support their decision to go
right
to school, and it becomes this really unexpected hurdle as you're maybe already completely set up and you're applying and you took the GMAT and then all of a sudden that's the roadblock. So I think my biggest advice is to figure how that would work out, the not school part, before really putting the effort and the time and the energy into applying.
Okay.
So that doesn't become a hurdle.
Was your decision to go into the public sector? I mean, you've been a creative director in various managerial positions, you know, for Disney, for Discovery, for Mattel, and then you went into the public sector. Was that partially in anticipation of your doing the executive MBA?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Corporate life is especially in the entertainment industry in LA or probably New York as well, it's a very, very fast paced environment. And so I considered going both to school and remaining, for example, Discovery as a creative director for some time. And then I realized that I would be doing a disservice to both. Mm-hmm. So I actually did do a slight career shift so that I could bring as much as I could back from school to where I worked, because really the public sector does need as much help managing finances and operations and such as possible. But it was also the right thing for me to do in terms of having the type of career that gave me the flexibility to spend the time on school.
Okay, great. What would you have liked me to ask you that I haven't asked you?
I don't know. You've asked really, really great questions. I think if you hadn't asked me, or if your blog hadn't come up in the conversation before, that's the one thing I would have asked you to ask me about. But I've already talked about it, and I think it's pretty clear that I'm a big fan. So,
okay. So you would recommend that people read the blog, right?
Yes, I very much recommend it.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, then, Betta, I think we're just about finished. I want to thank you very, very much for joining me. We'll link to Executive MBA resources at Accepted, as well as to our blog, since Betta was so kind as to recommend it so highly, from our podcast, which you can find at accepted.com/326. Thanks to you, listener, for tuning in this week. I also want to invite you again to the Columbia Business School Ask Me Anything on September 5th with Columbia Business School's Assistant Dean of Admissions, Amanda Carlson. Don't miss it. Reserve your spot ASAP at accepted.com/326AMA. Again, that's accepted.com/326AMA. If you find this show worthwhile, I have a favor to ask. Please tell your friends about the podcast. Your doing so helps us spread the news about Admission Straight Talk, and it will help your applicant friends to get accepted. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted. I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.